Hey, hello everyone. It's me.
And Sister Amen.
My ministry partner, Sister Amen, is with me as well.
I was getting a fan set up here.
I kind of turned the audio recorder on a little bit sooner, but we are coming to you once again from our gospel van studio. Sister Amen's in the passenger seat. I'm in the driver's seat, and I'm holding my phone. That's our studio. And we are thankful for having an awesome day today. We arrived in a new town, one step closer to our preach this weekend in a bigger town. We had an awesome travel day, passing out the gospel as we went. And so, did you have a good day, Sister Amen?
I did. It was an awesome day in the Lord.
We got to help some saints in some things. We had a brother's fellowship call. We did a verse-by-verse study. We got some Titus 2, Sister Amen got some Titus 2 things done.
Yeah, and I
full day.
My Titus 2 list is going to grow with more sewing.
Yep, I keep ripping my tunics.
Well, yeah, there's one rip on the side, and then it's getting really thin, so I might have to sew a whole big patch of
pretty
the
soon,
back.
Instead of calling me Brother Tupos, you're going to have to start calling me Brother Patches.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
I love what a young brother said. He said he likes when his tunics get spots and patches on them because they don't look so new, and he said he likes that a lot better than like a brand new piece of clothing or something like that.
Well, it's very humbling.
Yeah.
You can kind of have some pride and maybe not know it.
Yep.
Having a nice, perfect look at everything. So.
Yeah, amen. So, what's on your mind today, Sister Amen? We got a couple things we want to talk about. What you get to go first. I want to be a gentleman, so you get to go first.
Oh, well, hold on a sec. I thought it was going to be you, but that's okay. We learn how to work under pressure, don't we?
Work under pressure. We were talking about that today when we were driving down the highway. Sister Amen and I get a chance to talk a lot when we're driving and just thinking and pondering.
Yeah, all different kinds of subjects. And, you know, we can talk a lot, but that's nothing compared to where our minds are always going on the things of God.
Yeah. Working under pressure, that was kind of a flashback to our old business life.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about... Well, you probably got an example, too. I was going to say, you can do yours first if you got an example.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, I'll give you two contrasts. So when I was in the business world, I used to be a purchasing agent. So my job was to buy materials to keep a plant with hundreds of people running. And I remember the pressure because if I messed up on my job and I didn't order the right material, the right amount, or have it in the plant at the right time, the plant could shut down. And everybody would go home, and maybe for one day somebody would go, oh, great, we got the day off. But if they were to shut down for longer than that, you become like the enemy of the plant, and everybody's upset because they may not get paid. And so that was a lot of pressure in that job. And fortunately, I can't remember one time I ever shut a whole plant down, so I had to work real hard to not be under pressure. The opposite of that would be maybe that prepared me. In the Christian life, being a street preacher, I have a lot of pressure out in the street with dealing with people, having to preach the truth, having to give answers, dealing with police, dealing with mockers. And so you learn to operate while you're under pressure. And in this case, trusting in the Lord as best as you can in His Word, in His Spirit. So He's a great help. I didn't have that help in the business world, but I love having that help when we go out and do street ministry.
Right. You're thinking, or you said basically what I was going to say, coming from the business world. I was a manager of new product development and would travel around and work with all the engineering departments. And when it came to a sticky situation, they'd all like stop and look at me. And then you got to get this figured out because all the new products are going to be going through the plant. And then you got to keep getting the new ones in there. And like Brother Tupo says, it really helped me for ministry, you know, even one-on-one.
Yeah.
Learning how to hurry up and think on your feet when you're just learning the scriptures, it's a good way to kind of push you into it, even if you don't really know all the answers right away. It's a good way to make yourself learn them.
Yeah, Jesus said through much tribulation and trials, and Paul talks about trials, and that's what some of the things we learned in the business world, and then God's using them for His glory in our life today.
Right, and He just keeps pushing us in pressure out on the streets, more and more pressure. And I was going to share some examples here for us women.
Amen.
You want to see, or you want to hear a good example for godly women in pressure?
I want to.
Let's go to Esther.
Oh, that's a good one.
So here's Esther. She's, well, You know the story, of, or not story, the account of Esther, how she ended up with the king. And I want to read Esther 4:11. And this is when there was a lot of issues going on, and Mordecai was looking to Esther to see what could be done, because right. she was the queen, and she yep. had the king's ear at times. And it says, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do... Oh, wait. He wanted her to do something. He wanted her to go to the king. And this is what she says. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king... come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And then she says a few, oh, several verses later, she says about, she's going to do it. She tells everybody to fast, and she says, if I perish, I perish. And then what does she do under all that pressure? She goes in there willing to die, but he holds it out to her, and yeah. she's able to proceed and right. help save the people. So yeah. that's like a major show
yep,
of pressure.
That's worked. Yeah, that's definitely working
and
on
the
pressure.
And she pushed right
say.
Through, not loving her life, didn't yeah. she? So
Amen.
I thought that was an awesome example.
Yeah, so ponder that working under pressure, and maybe there's things in your life that you have to do that are under pressure, and you need to seek the Spirit of God and the ways of God, and that's going to help you deal with all that. Definitely don't flail back from it. I teach people to press into things, and that's when you're going to learn. That's when you're going to succeed. You don't win in battle when you're falling backwards. You win in battle when you're pressing forward. We must press forward in the Christian life.
Right. And so a good way to look at things, I know your flesh is always going to go, oh, I got to do that. But you know what we need to do? We need to say, bring it on, because if God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Right? And run right into it and go.
Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for all the trials I had in my life to prepare me for this life in Christ, and I know you are too, so that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome to ponder that. Today we're driving, and we went through, it's about the third day in a row we had to battle the wind.
Oh, wow.
And we're really thankful for our gospel van, because it's got dualies on the back, and while the wind blew us around a little bit, nothing like our other van, which would be topsy-turvy. This van is so solid, but we had like 30, 40 mile an hour winds, it felt like.
Oh, yeah.
And what did we see? We saw a whole bunch of windmills.
Uh-huh.
And we put a video up of it the other day, and it made me start thinking about wind and resistance. And I was looking at these windmills, just seeing them, hundreds of them out there, and they just go with the wind. They don't resist the wind. They go with the wind. And then from that, they are designed to generate power from
produce
power awesome. From the wind. And if they were to resist the wind, they'd probably break.
Uh-huh.
And so they go with the wind. And I was thinking about how we as saints of God should go with what God gives us, and that would be the Spirit, the Word. The Spirit comes as the wind and the living water. And if we resist God's ways, resist God's words, we're gonna end up broken down. Our lives are going to be broken down. Our ways are broken. We can't succeed. We're not going to overcome. And I was thinking of like Titus 1:14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. And I was thinking about it. So many people we meet are struggling out in the world and churchianity, and they're resisting God's truth. They're not going with God's truth, and it's the reason why they're struggling. And I was just thinking about that. The wind I equate to God's truth, like the Spirit. We need to go with the truth. If we stand against the truth, we're going to get bent. We're going to get buckled. We're probably going to get broken like a tree.
Right, and I have a scripture verse for that.
Yeah, and one quick thing about the tree. You ever see a tree in a really bad storm? The trees that survive storms, what do?
They're bending.
They bend to the wind, and they move, and they're able to survive, and they're fine. The ones that get the wind that are rigid and will not move, they get snapped right off and they get destroyed. So we need to go with God's truth and not fight against it with great resistance in our flesh. And we need to seek after walking in his ways, not going against his ways. Share your scripture, Sister Amin.
Well, I was going to say those big rigid trees, sometimes you see them tip over, it rips all the roots and
yep.
everything out. It's a
rips
great,
everything
big
out.
Hole there afterwards.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Acts 9:5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go,
I love
pushing
that.
Against it, yeah.
I have a whole teaching on that, kicking against the pricks, or sometimes it's called kicking against the goad. It's mm-hmm. basically us pushing against the truth of God and denying it, fighting against it. How foolish. You might as well beat your head against a dam made of cement.
Oh, I know.
You're going to lose.
Right.
And so we need to go with God's word and with God's ways and not push against it.
That's the way I'm going.
Amen. Me too. Let's help each other do that. We're hoping.
And everybody else.
Yeah, hopefully we're helping other people do that. How about Sister Amen?
Mm-hmm.
The topic of security blankets. Not sure why we started talking about this today, but it just came to mind how I was thinking of, well, a brother has a couple little guys, and I remember when our children were small and they would carry little security blankets around, and it would make them feel good, and they would lay down on it and fall asleep, or when they'd cry, they'd hug it, because
mm-hmm.
that's all they had. They're too
yeah.
young. They don't have anything else. And I was thinking about how people in the world today have all these security blankets. It could be money. It could be porn. It could be their idolatrous hobbies. It could be drinking. And then I think about so-called Christians. They also have their security blankets. What do you think are some examples of that?
That could be just like maybe some safety on a homestead. A lot of believers like to go into the homesteading
yeah.
life, which is a good and godly thing.
Right.
But yeah, they kind of seclude there.
How about their careers?
Yeah, career.
Worldly
maybe
family.
Bank account. Yeah.
How about looks? Their pride and their vanity.
I thought we were talking about believers.
Even believers struggle with that sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, they can. And how about their abilities?
Yeah.
We were talking about that with a brother. If you struggle with pride, face the fact that you got nothing to offer God. You have nothing without Christ, and that helps rip your pride away. So there's a lot of things that people can use as a security blanket. I think you have a verse on that, don't you?
I do. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in material things. We don't trust in... A lot of people find security blankets in politics and their 401k and all that kind of things. And we need to put down all of our security blankets that are carnal and corruptible, and we need to cling to the security that God's given us. Like I did a reading on all the promises of Revelation. You can check that at the teaching blog. That would greatly edify people. So trade those temporal security blankets for that which is eternal in Christ.
Well, yeah, and not just corruptible security blankets, but even good and godly ones could hinder you. Having a security blanket, like we're talking about, peace and safety in your home,
mm-hmm.
and having extra storage and things saved up, you know, like not preppers, but
yep, yep.
having all that could be a very nice security blanket. We
yeah.
had that when we were on the homestead. To me, it was a security. I had a huge pantry that I was working really hard to keep filled
yeah.
from the garden and stuff, and that was kind of like a security, a safety, and it did. I rested in a lot of that until we left it. I didn't realize how much
yeah.
I did, how much I wasn't getting the opportunity to trust in the Lord like I am now. If you
yeah, that was
that
like
way.
The homestead that we owned that was really kind of my issue. It got in my flesh and I liked it so much. In the beautiful valley we owned, it in ways became my refuge.
Oh, yeah.
I thought of it as my refuge. Like, we can hunker down here. We
yep.
can survive here. When the world gets bad, we'll go here. We can live here. And I realized that it wasn't, I don't think it was a full-blown idol before the Lord. God's always been greater in my life than anything, but
oh, yeah.
it was a type of idol in my life, and I didn't want any idols. I didn't want anything to give me refuge above my Savior or equal to my Savior or close at all. So I was like, it's got to go. It
right.
took up too much of my time, my effort, my thought, and so I'm glad I purged that to get rid of that. So that was maybe my security blanket a little bit, just a little.
Yeah.
And that's why it had to go.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes you don't realize how big it is until you leave it behind.
That's true.
And how much it might be hindering you, maybe not in a bad way, but and you don't realize it, having that. But when you're set free from all that and you got to trust in the Lord, you look at that and you go, oh, wow, I see the contrast. I put a lot more trust in that
yeah.
than I thought I did.
And every person I witness to that thanks me for witnessing to them, I tell them and I tell myself, never would have met you if we'd still be sitting on our homestead.
It's funny, when I got to witness to Mary the other day, that was
yeah.
such a wonderful blessing to witness to her. And it flashed through my mind whenever I mentioned to somebody, you know, we sold everything we have to be out here because we love people, we love God, we want to help people. And my mind always goes to, I wouldn't be able to stand here and tell you this without that.
Yeah.
And it's good for us to remind ourselves when we get tired.
Right.
When the world is like really bearing down on us and we got to really dig down deep and get more to keep pressing on.
It's a great eternal focus, and we're doing it, as you said, because we're commanded to. We love God. We love our neighbor. And what are you going to spend your life on? As a brother's always telling other people when he witnesses to them, you're not going to be asked to leave anything that you're not going to have to leave anyway.
Right.
So you either leave it now for the Lord, or you're going to leave it headed for judgment and hell. Who do you want to leave it for?
I'll pick the first one.
I'll pick the first one, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Think about that. Security blankets. Get them out of your life. Another thing we talked about today, this kind of came up with a brother. How about watching words in regard to your relationships? Guarding our words. Let me explain this rightly. So this brother didn't have any ill intent whatsoever, but he said some things, worded them wrongly, in a wrong way, and it came across where it could really offend and stumble someone. And he had to go back and say, oh, I didn't mean it that way, and that's not what I thought, not what I said, I need to apologize for that. And we have to watch out. How we say our words have a big effect, don't they, Sister Amen?
They do. Yeah, we have to be real careful and watch what we say. And I was thinking about a conversation you and I had on Edification Audio about husband-wives.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, you mentioned how maybe somebody saying something doesn't realize how it's coming out. And then, I'm sorry, that side. And then on the other side, the person receiving it has to know the person and know their heart.
Right.
That they probably didn't mean it that way.
They didn't word it right.
We got to be careful that.
Got to go back and ask.
It goes both ways. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and this situation was where a brother said something and I took it one way and it affected me. And yes, guess what I did? Praise God, I learned this. I didn't let it fester. I didn't let it get bitter. I didn't let my heart get bitter. I didn't hold against my brother. What I did, I went right to him. And I said, brother, what did you mean? And then he explained it. He said, I didn't say that right. I shouldn't have said it that way. That's not what I meant. We buried the hatchet, as they say. There was no big issue, and we put it down. But I think too many times people hear bad words or the wrong words, they don't go back to fix the problem. And they just kind of gossip about it, stew on it, lament on it. Maybe Satan comes in, their flesh comes in, and it causes a huge rift, a little bit of leaven. We want to talk about it and get those things worked out.
Right, yeah, because it's kind of a back and forth kind of thing.
It is.
One might have gave it wrong, and the other one might have received it wrong.
Yeah.
Or you know, if you're sisters and you love each other, and somebody says something that kind of maybe offends you or affects you, if you know that sister and she's usually a good and godly sister and trying, and you can see her heart for the Lord, you gotta be real careful that you don't take it in the flesh because maybe she didn't really mean it or had it that way. So you go back and double check.
Yeah, so watch out for the words. They can cause mistrust, much damage. Make sure you work through that. James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So yeah, the tongue is really powerful. Let's make sure. Jesus said we'll be judged for every idle word, so let's make sure we're using our words properly for God's glory, for the love of the brethren, and also for the redemption and reaching the lost people around us. Does that make sense, Sister Robin?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Any other thoughts from you on this evening? Any other scriptures?
On the evening? Oh, I thought you meant the subject. I was like,
no.
On this evening, yeah, I got, hey, are you ready, sisters? Let's rejoice about this.
Oh, I know what you're going to talk about.
An encouraging email.
That's awesome.
So we got an email, and it's real short, and I'm going to read it to you. No name or nothing. It says, hello, Tupos and Amen. I've been listening to the audio Sister Amen has made and have been thoroughly enjoying them. I've struggled to find a good, godly older woman to teach biblical truths to us younger women that wasn't worldly. Have been thinking about you two a lot. Stay safe, and God bless you.
That was awesome.
Yeah, so I wanted to share that with you, sisters, because we had no clue that she's listening, watching. We don't know who's watching us and what kind of encouragement you could be to people, whether they're watching you physically, you know, in your life.
Yeah, in person.
Yeah, that's what I meant. In person, yeah.
Right.
Or online, if you have an online ministry.
Yeah.
Or maybe even through word of mouth.
Yeah.
You could be of an encouragement. You know, somebody knows you and they're talking about you and somebody hears and.
Yeah.
You know, of your good works and everything.
We just talked about that. The brothers and I did a Philippians 3, 15 through 17. Go check it out. Sister Armin's got it at the top of the edification page, and it talked about being an example.
Yeah.
And so that's what we are as people are watching us. So you were a good example to this young woman, and we're looking forward to hear from her, and maybe I'll hear from her husband as well. So that'll be an awesome thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we get those from time to time, and we like to, we don't post all of them or talk about all of them, but we like to edify. We do get good, positive emails amongst all the foolishness, hating, and mocking.
Right.
So it's awesome. God's word does its job.
Uh-huh.
Never returns void, does it?
No.
No.
I love that.
Anything else, Sister Armin?
Uh-huh. But if you have something, you can go, because I've been going.
Actually, I just have one last scripture, a rather lengthy one to read. I think it'll edify everybody. So why don't you share what you have to share?
Okay. Well, I have something and then my scripture.
All right.
Well, actually, two scriptures I'm going to read today. So we're traveling down the road, and I don't know if we were blessed or not, but we were blessed to kill our flesh and have patience because we were following pig trucks.
Oh, pig trucks today. We're in pig country. Pig butcher country. They have meat processing plants here.
Yeah.
Ooh, that opens your sinuses.
It did. So we had the opportunity to just kill some flesh and still be joyous anyway. So I was thinking about that.
It's got to be one of the worst smells.
Oh, I know.
Pig trucks, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of made me think about, you know, animals to the slaughter, because we saw their little noses sticking out the side there.
Yep.
And we're talking about, you know, raising animals and how man is to take dominion and stuff. And I guess I was thinking in my mind, animals to humans, you know, humans can go and they can kill them. And you were saying how they had to sacrifice.
The Levitical priesthood, thousands of animals killed.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, animals to us humans are like us humans to God.
Right.
God can just wipe us out in a split second.
Yeah, we take dominion over all animals so we can kill them, eat them. We shouldn't abuse them, but we can kill them, eat them, use them for our cause. God takes dominion over us, and for his glory, he's going to do with us.
Right, and it kind of puts man in his place.
It does.
When he actually sees that, you know, when you look at the contrast between human and animal, and then God and human, it's like, it's a nice picture. Nature teaches you that.
It's like Genesis, where God creates all the animals and everything, and he creates man, and he says, take dominion over it. And so God gives man dominion over the lowly animals, and then we learn in Scripture, God has dominion over man, and God says, I'm over you, God, Christ, man, woman.
Right, and I thought I would read Romans 9, 20 and 21. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?
Yeah.
And that's a whole teaching in itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, you look at it, it's like just that right there plus more just shows you how great and awesome our God is.
That's awesome.
I love that, don't you, sisters?
Yeah, that's awesome. Did you have another one to share?
That was a topic, but at the end, I was just going to read a couple scriptures on promise.
Go for it right now.
I thought that would just be encouraging.
Yep, that would be awesome.
2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's a promise.
I love that.
And will be a father unto you. That's a promise. And ye shall be my sons and daughters. That's a promise. Saith the Lord Almighty. Look at those promises right in there.
Yeah, there's lots of promises.
Yeah, and then 2 Corinthians 7:1. And I got to say, I had a hard time just picking a couple. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There's so many promises, and that reminds me of that awesome audio Brother Tupos did in Revelation of all the promises that are in there. And that's just in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, they're all over Scripture. So, it's something that we should focus on more, like the promise of Christ's return, the promise of becoming a temple, a pillar in his temple, the promise of he's going to bring his reward with him and for those who overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many promises. And I think too many people allow the sin in the Bible, Satan in the Bible, judgment, killing, wrath that's coming in the Bible. They let those become preeminent, but Christ is preeminent. And if we believe that, his resurrection, his overcoming the world, overcoming death, the real story should be the redemption and the glorious triumph of Christ, and everything else is kind of just a culmination to it. Sadly, I think it's the Hollywood mindset. People turn it around and they love all the bloody gore, and they don't look at the promises, and we really need to focus on that more than anything.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Tomorrow we finally, good Lord willing, get to hit the road and make it to our town destination where our preacher is going to be this weekend.
It's a city, and it's a big city.
It's a big city, and it's another Christian music event, and we're going to see how it turns out.
A so-called.
So-called Christian music event. Never seen one like this. It's like the whole city is opened up to it, so we're going to see what access we get, how that's all going to work out. And so we hope to be able to safely travel there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We have some errands to run, mm-hmm. a bunch of business we have to do around the town.
Yeah, so it worked out perfect yep. for us.
So we got to get ready for that. So we're looking forward to that. Uh-huh. And that'll be our day tomorrow and getting ready for our preach. I wanted to share, in closing, a section of scripture. I think this is going to really edify everybody. I know Sister Amon's going to love this. You ready, Sister Amon?
I'm going to contain myself.
1 Samuel 17, 45 through 49. Maybe that gives you a hint. Ready? And then said David to the Philistine,
oh, yes.
Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thee head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into my hands. And it come to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted toward him and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Yeah, we know the rest of the story. David didn't even have a sword. David ran up, took Goliath's sword, took his head off just the way he promised, and God had the victory. I wanted to read that because everybody in the Christian life is going to face their issues. Maybe that some people call it their giants. And David trusted in the Lord, and that's what we have to do. Trust in the Lord and in the power of his might, and we will overcome. Amen, Sister Amon?
Mm-hmm. And you know what he did?
What's that?
He ran toward him. I love that. I was getting chills listening to that.
He pressed
in.
I love
that. The power and he trusted God yep. so much. He just got up and he ran right in it. Yep. I love that. That is so awesome.
He didn't flail back. He didn't hide. He wasn't fearful. He wasn't timid. He was bold and he pressed in. And that's what we call ourselves to be. And that's what we encourage people that follow Christ to be. Press into your issues. We know a saint right now, two saints right now, that are pressing into some things that they have to do possibly. And so we're encouraging them to press in, and it'll change their lives.
Right, we've seen saint after saint pressing yep. through and pressing through.
Amen, yeah we're seeing awesome. A glorious thing of God's Spirit moving and saints pressing in and the body being edified, and so it's an awesome thing.
Yeah, praise God.
We're really
God.
Thankful for
it.
Everything that's going on. So press in, face your giants, trust in the Lord and in the power of his might, and mm-hmm. That's all I have. Anything else, Sister Amon?
I'm containing myself because what you just read there, we could be here all night long talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We hope that this has edified you, and go check out those resources, the verse by verse. Go check out what we added at the Ecclesia gathering. And till next time, we're going to come to you again. The Lord lets us. We're going to keep coming if he lets us.
Oh, yeah.
May God's grace and his peace rest upon all you saints of the Most High. We love you. We care for your souls. Let us know how we can help you in the faith.
Amen. Love you, sisters. Hold fast.
God be praised.